Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air, and we're about to discuss the topic, the state of Fort Worth. Fort Worth is the 12th largest and fastest growing city in the country. The demographics are very diverse, and we currently have a population of almost 960,000 people. But are we prepared for the population explosion, or is this hurting our city as we know it? Tonight, we're going to talk about things like, is the city growing too fast? The huge turnover in our city staff recently, within the last 8 months. The fact that the former Fort Worth Police Chief, Joel Fitzgerald, is winning all of his appeals to get his job back. Our failing school system, Fort Worth ISD, is in bad shape. We're going to talk about a recent vote at the city council. It was the civil asset forfeiture vote. The vote turned out very interestingly, and we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about our police department and some of the things that are going on with our police department. We're also going to talk about the Fort Worth Police Oversight Monitoring Department and how that's all playing out and whether it's working for the city or working against the city. We're going to talk about the eviction rate in Fort Worth, tax foreclosures in Fort Worth, TRWG. We're also going to talk about whether or not the Tatiana Jefferson trial literally has the whole city under a gag order. We're going to talk about the raise that the mayor and the city council recently asked us for. We talked about that last week. However, we didn't know the actual numbers, but we do tonight. And last but not least, we're going to talk about, does Fort Worth have a $2.7 billion deficit, as truthinaccounting.org told us last year, or do we have a $46 million surplus, according to City Councilman Carrie Moon? I had the opportunity to talk with Mr. Moon for about 12 minutes this afternoon, and we pre-recorded that because he is knocking on doors because he's seeking a higher office in this upcoming election, in the May election. And so we just tried to record him just briefly kind of explaining how he came to that number. All right, y'all, I'm going to my panel. On the board tonight is Pastor Alcee Chris with the Alicia Temple Church in Fort Worth. We also have Adrian Smith. And Thomas Torlinkazi is running late and will be with us in a few moments. Good evening, Adrian. Good evening, Pastor. How are you?
Good evening.
Uh-oh. Okay. I'm sorry, Adrian. Can you hear me, Adrian?
Hey, hey. Good evening, Carrie.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Hey. You heard some of the topics that I mentioned. I don't know if we're going to get to them all, especially with trying to play that recording from Mr. Moon, but we're going to try. Is Fort Worth currently growing too fast? You know, we're looking at things like poor transportation, slow police response times, more crime in terms of violent crime, basically needing two more districts with our city council, traffic congestion. Are we ready for this population explosion? Either of you. Pastor Chris.
You can go ahead.
Okay, when I moved to Dallas, now I lived there first. You know, I'm not from here originally. But when I moved to Dallas and moved to Fort Worth, as far as the traffic, as far as the people, I just thought it was a nicer city. And you know, Dallas was way behind then. You know, Central Expressway was like four lanes. And it was just kind of rough living there. But when I moved to Fort Worth, you know, they were seemed to be a step up on their growth patterns, and they were making changes, you know, to put the expressways in and stuff like that. You know, if you don't, you could even today, I tell you what, just go drive down 20 or 30 to Central, and go down Central and see what it looks like, see what the traffic is like.
Mm-hmm.
You
well,
know,
but
so
Dallas is
I think
cities in Fort Worth, right? Dallas is much bigger. They're over. Dallas is a much bigger city than Fort Worth.
Right. But it still looks like, you know, I think they're a better prepared for growth than Dallas was at that time. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So as of today, where are we at, though?
You know what? I think, just me personally, I think this is just one thing that's coming to my mind, like mass transit in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like you have to drive. You know, we don't get service all of Fort Worth. You know, that they could improve. I mean, it costs a lot of money, but the mass transit thing, I think, is one of the things you have to have, you know, as your city grows.
True. And they truly seem to be lacking with trying to get that up and running. They're talking about it, but it's something that needed to happen, like, yesterday. But that's just why, you know, we're seeing so many things, even like 911 calls, you know, the slow response time, if you get an officer out there at all. I mean, it's just, everything is like it's happening too fast, and the city is not ready for it.
Yes, in a lot of ways, I would agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm. Adrian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Carrie, I would say that I think the growth is good, and I put it in perspective when I mean by growth, because I'm for people coming to, you know, a new start, you know, getting a new start. You know, a lot of people are fleeing these various states where it's just, it's all kind of chaos, whether through the political spectrum, through the schooling, through the just the overall city services, through policing, you know. So they come and seeking refuge and, you know, in a better place, you know. I think where Fort Worth dropped the ball, they focus more on development, trying to make the city look good. But like you spoke on regarding the transportation aspect, Alliance has been out there for years. Alliance has been growing, you know, and it started with all the various businesses coming to that area. They dropped the ball on Alliance Quarter because they should have been had Alliance in a place to where mass transit can go out there and, you know, to where people can have opportunities. There's a lot of opportunities being left on the table as far as employment for people who can use those opportunities, but they can't get out there. They cannot get out there, you know. The commute is bad, you know. Whether you're going early, you got to pick your poison when you're going out to the lines there. You got to pick your poison, pick your time, pick your poison. So they were more focused on the development, making it look good, making it sound good, you know. But they didn't prepare for the I won't even say transit is small, but it's small, but it's big because if you can't get people to move around like they want to, frustration kicks in. You know, you start having setbacks, this, that, or the other. Now, as far as policing, I'll say with the 911 calls, of course they said everything is done by priorities. But you know what? Priority calls. So I would say this. When it comes to our communities, say like burglaries, I think police, what happened to policing riding through the communities? Just being visible. They don't do that. Yeah, I wonder why so much crime, so much violence going on, so many people able to just shoot people, just going about their business, able to do all of what they're doing because the police doesn't make their presence known. They only make their presence known when something happens. And then when something happens, you got 100 police at one scene just sitting around, lights flashing, they lollygagging, talking, this, that, or the other. So they base their calls on priorities, and I think they need to reconsider how they do that because it has a detriment on, you know, just things going forward, you know. Fort Worth can say that everybody want to pump this thing. We're not against police. And we don't ever say we're against police. We need police. We need police. Mm-hmm. We need it. It's necessary. But they want to use their fear-mongering to keep us. They use fear-mongering to keep us separated. Because you got some people saying, we just want police reform, want better policing. Then you got some people say, we back the blue. It's like the message is getting construed, you know?
All right. Defunding the police became a very bad word. You joined us. Good evening.
Hi, everybody. Hey, I'm glad I heard this before I got a chance to chime in. Of course, I agree with every point made. On some of the points made. One of the things that we're seeing in Fort Worth, specifically transit being the ultimate example, is our transit system is actually a private public partnership. And conservatives and Republicans believe that's always the way to go. And the truth is, for services or critical infrastructure that governmental communities need, it's always actually better for it to be predominantly or 100% government, because the contractor, for example, with the Metro Transit, they have to make a profit. So they're always looking for ways to avoid adding routes, adding numbers of buses. They don't want to be in the cost of the infrastructure of light rail because they don't want to make that large of a capital investment. They're too focused on their profit. The parallel is when the city gave away control of the very center of downtown Fort Worth to a private entity. It's not the highest priority, but the mess that's now been created. They have a monopoly on the middle of the town, and so we're going to have two arts festivals inside of one at the same time. I do want to go back to the point about why Metro is better than most of the other infrastructure changes that are happening, like TRWD and Boulder Island. It's been proven all over the country that when you expand light rail and bus and rail stations, every community that gets a bus and rail station, that's a like a seed of a kernel of growth. And then little businesses, small mom and pop or independent entrepreneurs, can open up businesses around the light rail station. DART's proven that over and over. And it doesn't matter which community that rail line extends into, you get a dry cleaner, a coffee shop, a sandwich or, you know, a Subway franchise. Those kinds of things transform nearly every neighborhood in the city. And the city planners for Fort Worth don't think that way. I mean, look where we're putting our money instead. I mean, whether you like it or not, here's $400 million in government money coming for that Panther Island boondoggle. And if you add up all the money that's come to Fort Worth and the Tarrant County for that project, we'd have light rail extending to every corner of Fort Worth already, or certainly under construction. So it is a priority thing. I mean, it's really interesting because they love this private part, you know, private-public partnership, they call it. But the truth is it gives private citizens and businesses control over public goods, public services. It's crazy. So.
Well, you know what, since you brought up TRWD, tell us a little bit about what's going on over there. We're talking about the state of Fort Worth. Where are we at as far as TRWD is concerned?
Well, one thing that we all have to realize is that TRWD, the headquarters and the lion's share of its operations are inside Tarrant County and inside Fort Worth. While it's true they control lakes, think about this if you lived in another rural county, it controls seven lakes, including three that are in Tarrant County. And they have a monopoly on the raw water supply. So Fort Worth citizens rely on all of the raw water supply coming from TRWD. Now, they don't gouge us on the price, but what they don't tell most homeowners or Fort Worth residents are, you're paying a water bill, but you're also paying a special property tax to the water company, to the water entity. It's a government, not a private entity. Then, separately, for all of these schemes and extra ideas that they have underway, they take money from virtually every other government nearby. And that's what, I mean, that just hacks me off more than anything, because they take money from JPS Hospital System. They take money from Tarrant County College. And those money, if you watch the papers or you pay attention, the school system needs its own money. And the hospital district needs its own money. They made a deal with the devil when they agreed to surrender. They call it participate in the TRWD scam. And it's about, like, for example, TCC, it's $6 to $12 million a year, but they've been doing it for 12 years. What's that math? Somewhere between $72 and $144 million that TCC could have used for, you pick it, a science lab, tenured professors, scholarships. I mean, they have a foundation that's broke, and they're turning around and allowing TRWD to eat up money that no taxpayer expected to go to that. Exactly the same thing with JPS. With JPS, so many people in Fort Worth rely on JPS, whether they're low income or middle class without insurance. The idea that money is being diverted away from things like that to go into, you know, something like this, you know, the congresswoman's son's, you know, nightmare dream. I mean, everyone should be mad about that. And I'll give you the best example. So Fort Worth ISD is another one. They did back out of their agreement and no longer hand over money through the school district that we pay on property taxes. They keep it for themselves. Look what happened with Fort Worth ISD lately, though. They've had four bonds on the ballot and three of them lost. So they need the money. No other government should be handing money over. And then the last one is Tarrant County. Now, whether you live in Fort Worth or you live in the outskirts of the county, why would you want county money for all the purposes that we need county money for, like, you know, jail reform or other public health services, all the things that the county pays for, road and bridge construction? The county's paid $142 million to TRWD, and that's another kind of property tax that comes out of our – when we get billed – Now, here's where it really hits home for people that are middle class and poor. And the middle class is a giant part of our population. We have the fourth highest eviction rate in the United States. When the landlords evict people, they do it because their rent rate reflects the taxes that they pay to a large degree. Somewhere between 25 and 40% of everybody's rent gets handed over to all those different little governments. But to have those little governments turn around and hand it over to the water district is nuts. And then separately, we apparently rank fifth in tax foreclosure. This is the city of Fort Worth. We should not – this is nothing to brag about. I mean, this is nothing to celebrate, because taking people's home because they got behind on their taxes is terrible. And, you know, it's usually a little old lady or a single mom or a poor person with fixed income that – loses their house over taxes because they already paid off their house. And what the city does is they allow private investors to buy them and flip them. So while we have this whole crazy thing about flipping houses and buying houses at a discount, what everyone needs to remember is the reason why they bought that, you know, $50,000 house for 15 grand is because they paid off taxes, and the difference is the poor person that lost their house lost their equity too. So, you know, this It is literal displacement of long-running, long-standing, you know, citizens that are middle class. 50 and up is real common, or maybe they have an early death in their family and one of the wage earners, you know, is not providing income anymore because they passed away. Fort Worth has a lot of things that make it look pretty, but there are some things that are you know, the dark kind of underbelly, I guess. So
I checked on the eviction right today in Fort Worth. And what I found out was that in the last week, they have filed 634 evictions. The filing since March of 2020, you know, that's basically when COVID hit. There's been 35,760. You know, Fort Worth carries over part of it into Denton County. On the Denton County side, there's been 7,897. On the Tarrant County side, there's been 27,863 evictions.
That's right, because that's not people. That could be families with two, three, four kids, too, you know, couples. But here's what's wild about some of that. Who is the person who decides to evict or not? The landlord, of course, applies for an eviction, but who is the decision decider? It is a justice of the peace. So the lowest level courts in Tarrant County, we got like eight or nine of them. And if you hadn't been paying attention, the Republican Party gerrymandered most of those seats and took them out of the hands of people that have a better perspective on what it's like to be in the circumstances. So justice of the peace has a lot of leeway.
I understand that the Miller Street Court, the JP Court, basically has been evicting a whole lot of people. And I understand Mr. Quintanilla, which is running for Congress, has some type of apartment complex or something, and he was not wanting these tenants evicted. However, this particular court, from what I just said on yesterday, was still evicting so many of his tenants, and they were going back and appealing. I believe the majority of them won their appeal. But what was the point of evicting them? Was it more about fees? Because I don't understand if it could have been avoided, why go through the eviction process? I put that on people's credit, you know.
Well, one of the things you got to check on is you got to realize, just like at Fort Worth City Council, these attorneys and consulting specialists that specialize in these types of legal actions are in that JP court every single day, and they represent, say, a rental property owner that may own 400 homes in Southeast Fort Worth, for example, or 100 homes. So it's routine for some percentage of those every month to default on their lease or whatever. And, of course, with COVID, that impacted that. So an attorney walks into the JP's court, and he knows exactly all the ropes to manipulate the JP.
And I understand that. Mr. Adrian, were you aware that the eviction rate was so high in Tarrant County? Did you say the fourth largest in the country of Trollenkazi? Did you say it was the fourth largest in the country?
Karen?
Okay, is it? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was I've said this since the offset, Carrie. I stated that Fort Worth, I've been saying this. I've been saying Fort Worth is making people homeless. Fort Worth is making people homeless. And like I shared with people, I said, look, they put for every Mr. Smoke and Mirrors in the political political correctness when they talk about affordable housing. Affordable housing only sounds good in the ears of the people who need it. You know what I'm saying? Okay, we got to say something. Let them know we working for them. We're working on their behalf. But for every, I can't even count how many affordable housing complexes they have developed. I can't even count on my hand. I can't get. No, hold on. Let me correct myself. Let me correct myself. They haven't developed them. But all these private properties that have gone up, you know, where the rent is $1,300, $1,400, you know, Fort Worth just interested in doing business. They don't care about the bottom line. Fort Worth is only interested in one thing, doing business. Fort Worth is for sale. So yes, I and for you to bring up the court you brought up, that's I'm hoping that this new person, this person that's running,
Stephanie Wilson.
Yes, the one that has dealt with the intimidation aspect of things, because it seems like Miss Lisa Water has forgotten where she's come from. It seems like she's smelling up there. And I don't doubt Miss Wilson's claim. I don't doubt that, because Water has had a sketchy past. There's some stuff out there on her. She got a sketchy past. There's some stuff she's been doing, flexing and using her office or whatever to do whatever. But I'm glad you brought it up, Carrie, because it is sad, and I think we do need somebody. We need justice of the peace in place who have a heart for the people, who are willing to, you know what I'm saying, consider their situation. And last I'll say this, how many people truly benefited from the COVID relief? Because we had plenty of money on the table for these people. But How much of politics played into them not releasing that money, or you know what I'm saying, finding excuses not to help these people? So I'm glad you brought that up, Carrie. The state of Fort Worth is a good, yes. Thank you for bringing it up.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Did you know the eviction rate in Fort Worth was so high?
No, I did, but I understand, you know, why it is so. You know, when people get evicted, you know, you have to go and, you know, to get them evicted, you have to go in front of a JP. And there's certain things that you have to get done. Once you get these things done, once the JP hears it, and if he rules for the landlord, the tenant has, you know, 3 work days to get out of the house. But
I thought it was 30 days.
Not,
what happened to 30 days?
No, it's 5 days. It's 5 days.
Oh, wow.
It's usually 5 days.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's that. But you know, but before you get in front of the JP, it might be a month or 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
got
so
it.
When
okay.
the J, so it's not like, you know, the person doesn't know they could be evicted.
Okay.
You know, but you know, I just really think that I don't know, because the law is kind of leaning toward the help, supposedly to help the tenant.
Whoa.
Ooh, I'm about to go on record. I think the laws in Texas, the laws in Texas are more set up to benefit the landlords, the ones who are doing the leasing. The laws in Texas are more set up in their favor, and I think it all goes. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I'm just saying. Usually, people get evicted because they can't pay the rent. That's the reason why. If you don't, you know, if you miss a rent payment, that's enough to get rid of you. You know, and I think that's all in the cost. You know, I think when, in other words,
Pretty much, I'm agreeing. Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, when you have to get in front of a JP, if you haven't paid your rent, like say for 3 months, then you know the JP has pretty much no choice, because you've done everything you're supposed to do. You have a lease, you know, So, you know, JP really that, you know, she has to follow the law. He or she has to follow the law.
Well, that I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this, and we're going to move on to this one. I'll be honest with you. I saw an apartment complex near me where they were evicting people when the moratorium was going on. And being the investigative reporter I am, I went over there and I told them, are y'all aware that this exists? You know, why are you doing this? And it appeared to me that what they were doing was they didn't want to deal with the paperwork, and also they didn't want to deal with the government in their business. So it was easier for them to just evict the people. And I said, but you can't. And so when I started saying, well, I'm going to call HUD, you know, because if you've got any Section 8 vouchers in here, you can't do stuff like this, and they need to know that you're doing this, then all of a sudden it stopped. So I'll be honest with you. I think some of the landlords take the money from the government to stop some of these COVID evictions because they didn't want the government in their business. I'm just going to say that.
Right. But that is wrong.
Oh, I agree, I let them know that.
So, you know,
I think Brother Linko and Brother Malachi went over there with me.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we did that.
I believe you, but, you know, but see, they were violating the law because they weren't supposed to be evicting people. But, you know, exactly. I'm going to just say, if the people who live in the complex or whatever are not knowledgeable, you know, if you're ignorant of the law, they just take advantage of it. You know, they can tell you anything.
And that's what we knew, that, you know, wait a minute, we got a moratorium going on, and they're evicting people. And the people that we talked to who were about to be evicted, most of them had no knowledge that there was a way to fight back and that there was information available and there were resources available to stop the evictions. And so I think in most cases, I think, but one, we were able to give those people more time where they could restructure and get everything situated. So let's move quickly because we got some other topics to get to. Let's talk about this civil asset forfeiture vote that went down at City Council this week. Interesting vote. We noticed that the vote went Parker, Crane, Flores, Firestone, and Moon voted yes. We noticed that Beck and Nettles voted no. And we saw that Bivens and Williams abstained on that vote. And so I don't know if most people even understood what the civil asset forfeiture is all about. But in short, I'm going to make this very brief. Basically, it's called civil asset also, civil asset forfeitures as well, or civil judicial forfeitures. It's a process in which law enforcement officers take assets from persons suspected of involvement with crime or illegal activity without necessarily charging the owner with wrongdoing. While civil procedure, as opposed to criminal procedure, generally involves a dispute between two private citizens, civil forfeiture involves a dispute between law enforcement and property, such as a pile of money, a house, or a boat, such that the thing is suspected of being involved in a crime. So let's just say this hypothetically. We know how police officers are good at using the term, I perceived a threat or I felt like my life was in danger, so I shot and killed somebody because I perceived a threat. So can you imagine if they can take your money because they say they believe that it was involved in a criminal activity or they thought a criminal activity was going to take place with this particular thing? Tell me, Charlie Cosby was the one that brought it to my attention. I wasn't even aware of what that was. Thomas, can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, so this is, and there's a lot of irony to the vote the other night. This is one of the worst instances of police misconduct. And you have to realize that Monday the other night, the Fort Worth police and every law enforcement agency is incentivized by the feds and in some states by state law to take cash and jewelry and nice belongings from folks off the side of the road. Sometimes it's at a household. But like Kerry said, this is cop-splaining. I mean, they literally rationalize, well, I see you have this really nice thing or this pile of cash. I don't care what your explanation is, like you just sold your car, you know, on Craigslist in front of the police department. Because I stopped you, you have $5,000 in your car. I think that $5,000 was involved in a drug transaction, so I'm taking it away from you. No judge, no jury, no due process, almost no recourse to get it back. And what makes it more complicated is it is the DEA or the FBI who they will call to come to the scene. Literally, they've learned to game the system. And Fort Worth is a big police department, but the smallest little podunk towns do this too. And they do this because it's a necessary revenue stream for them. So here's basically what happens. They pull somebody over, often someone passing through, not necessarily a resident. And even if they don't have a traffic violation for them, they contrive a reason, you know, like and they hem them up on the side of the road. Whether they do an illegal search or a legal search or whatever, or the person talks instead of pleading the fifth, lo and behold, the police discover they have really nice guns or they have, like, jewelry. I mean, I've heard a story of an older Hispanic woman who was riding with her grandson, and they were going to buy a car. They took his cash for the car, and she had on a multi-generation gold rosary around her neck. And they said, we think that asset was was acquired with drug money. So they took something that was worth a few $1,000s, which was a family heirloom, and sold it and kept it. I mean, that's terrible, but there's lots of examples of this. And so what Fort Worth does, when cops pull someone over and they discover a large amount of asset and they profile that person or decide this guy or this woman or this couple shouldn't have this kind of money in their vehicle or this kind of jewelry on, I think it's drug related. And then they contact the FBI and the DEA on the side of the road and say, I think there's more than $10,000 here. They contact the supervisor, and the stop expands, and the DEA usually sends out an agent. And if they agree that they can seize it, they will take the assets. The care, custody, and control goes to the feds for a little while. If it's cash, the feds just hang on to it. Then once a year, the city of Fort Worth and the police department are offered their cut, which is, I'd say, between 40 and 60%. And so when you're a cop, a patrol cop, you're scoring points every time you grab a big pile of assets. You're scoring points for promotion and all kinds of things. So, of course, they want to do it. I mean, I realize that in the old days, they'd pull over some guy, and he was, the known drug dealer, and he had multiple offenses, and he has drugs in his vehicle, and they can clearly document that expensive car was bought from the ill-gotten gains of drug dealing. And so they would take the car and, make a big dare car out of it or whatever, fancy sports cars. But this program has gone way far away from that. And the point is, this is literally fruit of the poison vine. The city of Fort Worth, with its $1 billion-plus budget and with all the CCPD money that they already get, $120, $130 million a year, plus mainstream general fund money for the police, the last thing we need to be doing is taking this dirty money that comes from the misery of innocent people. And that's what's wrong with this. And so it should have been easy for all of the council members or most of them to realize this is a civil rights thing. This is not right. This is openly mean. And we don't need this money. We certainly don't need this money. Right. And what it says to me is the 5 council members who voted to take the money have no real interest in police reform. Because competent professional law enforcement officers, that are honest, know that civil forfeiture is one of the ways that they look like idiots or criminals in the public's eyes. And so it isn't worth it if you really get to the analysis of it. They should not be taking the money.
I agree. Again, that vote went down like this. Mayor Parker, Councilman Crane, Flores, Firestone, and Moon said yes. Beck and Nettles voted no. And Bivens and Jared Williams abstained in the vote. Pastor, what are your thoughts? Should they have stopped this down completely, or what do you think?
I'm going to just answer by telling you something. A friend of mine who was a former Dallas police told me something in the 80s. He said in Dallas at that time, they had a line item budget, a line budget item for stuff that was confiscated. Just like you said, cars. I had a guy, they raided his house. He was supposedly in the drug business. They raided his house. He took all his cars. You know, they cleaned it out. So they said he was a drug dealer. I don't know if he was or not, but they did it. Just like your other guest said.
Well, Adrian, what
so
do you think?
I don't think it's uncommon.
You don't think it's uncommon, but is it right?
No.
Because I can see if drug dealing is illegal and you know that and you still take your chances and you get caught and they take all your stuff, that's one thing. But I think there should be a better process if they pull you over on the side of the road for them to determine how you came about that money or whatever your asset is,
right,
rather than just take it from you without any investigative work at all.
Right, exactly. But how did I get it? Like that lady's necklace. How was it gotten?
Yeah,
I think,
well, remember,
this must have gotten, huh?
You, remember, these Go people ahead, aren't being arrested. It. I'm sorry, these people aren't being arrested either.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
nobody's
okay.
being arrested. They just take the assets.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Adrian, what are your thoughts?
I want to first speak on the vote. Well, you know,
yeah.
Considering the vote, I think the vote went typically as you would expect, you know. Now, let me give me two observations on the vote. You remember what you shared with me, you know, regarding the smartness of one of the council members? How, you know, mm-hmm. she this person is paid to win. This person is real, you know, ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. I think with Mr. Williams, Jerry Williams, he's smart. He's intelligent. I think their brother's intelligent. I think out of all the council members, him and Mr. Firestone are going to be the two that's going to make a difference. You know, I truly believe this. Like I said, Mr. Firestone is just kind of quiet right now. Hopefully they don't get to him, you know, to sway him going one way or the other. But Jared, I think Jerry, he's, you know, not just because of who he is as an individual occupation-wise, but, you know, just his service, you know. He said something about a nonprofit, this, that, or the other. But I think Gina is schooling Jerry. I think Gina is schooling Jerry. I think Gina is schooling Jerry. As far as Kristen and Beck, y'all mark my words. They'll be the first two to get voted out when the election comes. Now, I'm not saying what election. I don't know what election it would be, but they'll be the first two to get voted out. They're going to be the first two that's going to fall on us, that's going to get voted out. And what I said about Chris is Chris has to walk that line, because remember Chris, he stepped out on that police reform, you know. That's a lot of what his campaign was used to probably, you know, to move his campaign for. So he has to walk that way. He can't go no other direction. But like I shared with you, I won't be surprised if he makes a He does a flip-flop, you know. And you said something about this gag order. I don't think it's a gag order on the city. Well, I think it's the gag order got in place after he did what he did, you know, because the news media, they still able to, you know, court the news. They still able to operate like they able to operate, you know, without no restriction or whatever. But as far as our government, it shouldn't have been that way. But I think when Chris did what he did, it kind of, like, sent a bad light to the city council, you know, see the bad light. As far as this forfeiture types, it just gives police more power. It gives them more of a they got our back type of, hey, yeah, we got y'all. They like a wink. We still got y'all. You know what I'm saying? And it's sad because taxpayer money will be used by the POA to get people out of office that don't agree with their policies or what they're doing. And then last but not least, I'll say what our governor, what he did. Our governor even threatened I take the funding away from any city that said something about defunding the police, blah, 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 blah. Well, how much is the state giving to these various police, you know, these counties, you know, because like you said, that thing we tried to vote down, but they end up giving it to them because they used the fear mongering again to get people to believe that everybody was against policing, that 10-year you know, whatever, whatever. So mm-hmm. I think it's wrong. I truly think it's wrong, and it's gonna come to light. Everything's gonna have to be answered for.
And you know, well, I want to say one more thing on this civil asset forfeiture vote. Abstaining is not a vote. We do not
right.
put people on council just to say I'm gonna be neutral. We need you to
right.
make a decision. Even if you make the wrong decision, we need to know that you can make a decision. And you know, y'all know who y'all are that abstain, but that almost is, to me, a coward move. I'm just being – either you, nobody can stand in the middle of the road because we know it takes 5 votes downtown. That's it. The 5 votes were already established with the people that mm-hmm. voted no. So to abstain at that point literally says to me that you just didn't want to look like you were the bad guy.
Right.
I'm just going to leave it
and
right
you gotta
there.
Keep,
and
you got to keep
what,
and keep certain people, keep try to play both sides, basically.
Yeah, that's
playing
it.
Both sides. That's what they're doing,
it.
Playing both sides.
Okay. Well, I mean, and I'm just like, that who?
I was going to say, remember, the 5 people who voted to take the money are all 5 people who take Police Officer Association money.
Oh,
in,
wow.
In Maddie Parker's case, she didn't take money directly, but she let the Police Officers Association run all those crappy ads, and they spent like $50,000 helping her getting elected by scaring people about Deborah Peoples. So, and the bottom line of that is Maddie Parker didn't have the guts to say this is wrong and I condemn it. She went ahead and let him run the ads. I mean, privately she'll tell you she wished they hadn't have done it and that it was sexist and racist, but that doesn't help anybody. Just like you said, she's in the middle of the road. And here's why. For Gina Bivens, the vote was going to be 6-3, y'all. Gina mm-hmm. Bivens takes the Police Officer Association money too. She's very pro-police. And so it was only because, lover or hater, Elizabeth Beck at least explained how horrible this particular practice was that she convinced Gina Bivens to move from a yes vote to abstain. I agree. Mm-hmm. You need to vote no if you really are against it, not abstain. But mm-hmm. the vote was exactly on who relies on Police Officer Association money. The other 4, and this is terrible, but especially Jared Williams, they're afraid of the Police Officers Association money, not because they're going to donate it to him and lose the money, because they're going to spend the money on an opponent in the next election. And that's why Tina and Jared didn't vote.
Interesting.
They don't want, they don't want to piss them off. So who has the real power in the city?
But see, this is my opinion on this, and this is going to be my last comment on this. As far as I'm concerned, and I'm going to pull the votes that have been, have taken place since this council has been put in place. To me, if you say yes or if you say no, at least it shows that you hopefully, put a little thought to it. And then you had a conscience about, I feel good about this or I don't feel good about this. But when you put in an abstaining vote, that's literally saying, I'm sitting here and I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to stand in the middle of the road. Well, how is that helping us as council? I mean, I'm just saying we put you in those positions to make the hard decisions for us because we can't. And so we hope that you would vote the heart of the people. And so the heart of the people would never be to abstain from a vote because abstaining gets us nowhere. Period. I mean, to me, if everybody just abstains, that's saying we're not going to make a decision at all. So that's just my opinion on it. I'm going to leave that right. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to put a period right there and not a comma. Y'all, the next thing I want to talk about is this the Tatiana Jefferson trial. I am literally sick of where this is going. And I say that because they literally got the whole city under a gag order. Don't say anything about Aaron Dean. Don't say anything about what Aaron Dean did. Don't say anything about the fact that Aaron Dean, went into an area of a yard that he was not supposed to, and his act once going back there, took the life of Tatiana Jefferson. So we can't say that out loud, because if enough people say it, then it makes him feel threatened somehow that he's not going to get a fair trial. Well, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Dean is done in terms of being threatened. He was threatened that night, you know, in terms of him shooting, I'm assuming. That's why he shot, even though there was no threat, in my opinion. So now he feels threatened. If people talk about what happened, that he's going to not get a fair trial here. So therefore, we're going to move it to another venue. I say to the city of Fort Worth, if we're going to be one of the largest cities in this country, then we need to act like it. Because if this happened in Chicago, they don't change the venue. When it happened in Dallas, they didn't change the venue. When it happened in Minneapolis, they didn't change the venue. So we can't talk here, or we're going to change venues, we're going to make threats to change venues. That is bull. I'm sorry, that's bull, and it's a shame on the city of Fort Worth to put the whole city under a gag order because Mr. Dean does not feel comfortable if someone says something about what he did. Am I wrong, Pastor?
I don't think you're wrong. I don't, you know, because that tragedy happened after George Floyd. They've moved on past, you know, his trial at least. They've moved on past it. And why are we still waiting to decide? Huh? I'm sorry.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Pastor.
But I'm just saying, hey, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. You know, it seems like they're dragging it out. But then when you know, the other thing you said, remember that they moved Councilman Al Lipscomb's trial out of Dallas County for the same reason, didn't it?
Really? I don't remember.
Yeah, they
but
moved his trial
happen,
out of...
That doesn't happen in most of these police shootings, though, across the country. You don't see them say, okay, we're going to change the venue because the newspaper put out an article about the shooting. No, it is news. That's what people do. People talk about news. And when a police officer goes in somebody's backyard in the middle of the night, when he passed two open doors and several open windows and didn't announce himself, and he shoots somebody in a few seconds after getting in the backyard, that's news, and people are going to talk about it. Am I wrong?
Right. No, you're right. You're right.
Well, Carrie, you hit on the most important word, which is news. They don't want it to be news anymore. And here's where the change of venue and the fair trial argument, that makes sense coming from Aaron Dean's attorneys, but the collective power brokers also want the delays in the change of venue, because the longer it takes, the longer the community and the city has before they have to address the core problems and issues. So, you know, there's no obvious plan on retraining, accountability, rethinking, reforming. None of that stuff even gets to be underway in an earnest way until the trial's over with and the healing has started to happen. And that's what what's irritating here is, you know, like them or waiting to see what he's going to do, whether it's Mr. Nettles or the three or four other new folks, you're not doing jack squat right now. I mean, you say you are, but the truth is that the police department is probably expanding its power base and spending money and militarizing, because I guarantee you they're not spending that much time and staff meeting and planning on how to make officers less likely to do what Aaron Dean did. They're spending more time and planning on how to handle riots that they think might come when the trial outcome happens. And I mean, that makes me angry, because the council members haven't figured – they're being so easily gamed and swayed by the charm and the experience of the collective staff, both the civilian staff and the police staff. What they did is – the fear of unrest is one kind of fear that there is in the narrative. The fear of the police is another narrative, including the political power of the Police Officers Association. But the last fear is the political ramifications
of and the lawsuit liability on behalf of the city. The gag order is coming from the city attorneys or outside attorneys that know that there's going to be a liability suit by Tatiana Jefferson's family, and that's going to have to wait until after the criminal trial. And so everyone, I mean, Harry doesn't have a gag order. I don't have a gag order. And that's what that's the problem here. The citizens don't have a champion on the city council that's that's advocating for what's in the best interest of the city or the citizens. They don't. What they've done is when Mr. Nettles wrote the one letter he wrote, is they reminded him that his other city council members may not like it, and you're going to hurt their feelings. And if you say harsh things, we might have to censure you, which doesn't mean kick him off the council. But they may claim that if he says things that are critical of the police or the process, that it will cost the city more money in the lawsuits. So please be quiet.
I agree. I mean, basically what Chris Nettles said was after the fact. The shooting and the murder of Tatiana Jefferson had already taken place. So literally, in my opinion, gag order for what? We are about 94 days until the trial, and there are many people traumatized by that shooting. Mr. James, I mean, has taken a great hit. The city has done nothing to try to put his life back together. I mean, financially, he's struggling as a matter of, you know, as a result of what happened. Little Zion is struggling. And all we care about is the feelings of Aaron Dean. Shame on Fort Worth. I'm just going to say, on Fort Worth.
Well, there's another impact. I mean, what's the percentage of people that live in Fort Worth that will hesitate to call 911? Is it higher? Is it a lot higher? I mean, is there a giant number of people that will never call the police late at night if they're concerned about their neighbor? I mean, seriously, they're not doing anything about that either. I mean, you know, forget about reforming the police. You know, I know one in my neighborhood is going to call 911 when it's dark and ask the police to come check on their neighbor.
Hey, Terry, you brought up a good point, and that's what I want to touch on. I thought about closure, at least some sense of closure. I thought about Mr. James. You took the words right out of my mouth. Mr. James, can he get some sense of closure? He would never live this down because he always felt like, you know, what he did, but it was, Mr. James, I know if you're listening, it was not you, sir. It was the decision of that man, that police officer. It was his decision. Aaron Dean, you get no pass, sir. Nobody feels sorry for you. You took an oath, you swore an oath. So with law enforcement, what society has did, society has conditioned us to where we can't say nothing about law enforcement without being looked at like we against the police, you know, or we can't hold them accountable. Just like that, and I ain't going to say this, Terry, because we need your show, but that ethnicity of people you can't say nothing about, out of all ethnicities, and you'll get counseled, you get shut down, they try to take everything from. That's how they treat law enforcement. You know what I'm saying? So, Mr. Dean, no, he gets no pass. You can put a gag order on, you can move the venue, but guess what? This is national. This got national attention, just like our brother Bolton John's situation got national attention. So you don't think a jury has already, whoever you get in that jury pool, their mind is already made up. They've already been exposed to it. They've already talked about it. They've already.
Don't say that. That really gives them like ammunition to go change the venue. That's what they want to hear. That he can't get a fair trial here. That's what they want. That's what they're going for. He can't get a fair trial here. So let's move it to Parker County, where it's got a whole bunch of police officers and a whole bunch of police wives, and more than likely they will find him not guilty.
That's right.
But the thing about it, you know what? But like you said, by closure for her nephew, you know what I'm saying? He has to live with that for the rest of his life. Mr. James, we've heard him. We've heard him. You know, he's hurting. Mr. James is hurting. You know what I'm saying? So, like you said, they don't think about that. And like you said, the political ramifications. Like I said, you said, Chris said what he said. He did what he did after the fact. But remember, Chris used it as part of his political stance to get him in a position he's in. You know what I'm saying? So he had to go ahead and follow through on it, because trust me, people that's in his inbox or call and say, "What's up? You said you was about this. Where yet?" And like I say, I'm gonna get that story to you, Kerry, about what I said. Chris used the Jacqueline Craig situation to kind of propel him against Betsy Price when he ran for mayor. The story still it's in the forward for Star Telegram's archive. I'm gonna get that story to you. But when that Jackie Craig situation came out, my I didn't know who Chris was. But when I heard that he was running against Betsy Price and he was used, I said, "Man, my first thing, man, you ain't finna get elected. That's all you got is that you're not finna get elected on that, using it as a you know, to propel him, and he didn't get nowhere with it." So I'm gonna leave that there.
All right, y'all. We're going to the phone lines here. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Kerry Hines, your host. Tonight we're talking about the status of Fort Worth, the things that we see that are going on that we see as being problematic. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're gonna go to the phone lines, 817-655. Good evening, you're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Good evening, Kerry. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak. Basically, with the city of Fort Worth, we need to get used to having these hard conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We, as a city, don't want to hold people accountable for their actions. We want to hobnob with friends. We don't want to lose friends. We don't want to upset family. We have to get used to having these hard conversations with people, no matter what the cost. We cannot begin to heal. And we can't begin to move on until we start to have these hard conversations. As a family, you have this whole family that's traumatized behind this. Yes, true mm-hmm. enough, he doesn't want us to talk about it, and I feel threatened, and I don't feel like I'll get a fair trial. But it's not about you, sir. It's not about mm-hmm. you. We have a person that's not breathing anymore. We have a family that's mm-hmm. devastated. We have a child that is traumatized, that is going to have to heal, that will never be right for the rest of his life. So at this point, we're not going to make it about you. You are not the victim. You are not the victim. But again, we as a city need to learn how to have these hard conversations and call a spade for what it is. And then at that time, once we start to have these hard conversations, then as a city we can begin to heal. We can't heal if we don't point out the wrong, and we got to call out the wrong in order for us to be able to heal.
I agree. Thank you so much for chiming in tonight, Colin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yo, that's an excellent point. It's not about him. It's really not. There's someone who lost their life that night. There's a child that's never going to be the same again. But, you know, we're sitting here worrying about the feelings of Aaron Dean. What kind of city does that? I'm just saying, look at a city. But anyway, it is what it is. Yeah. So as far as we're concerned, we're
going to – And real quick, like you said, about it ain't just about Aaron Dean. It also goes back to the point of they trying to keep Fort Worth looking with this image. You know, they want this image of Fort Worth being this city. You know, it's all again, it's all about selling Fort Worth. We got to sell it. We got to make it look good. We gotta keep all the, like the sister said, we gotta keep all the bad out. Anything that makes it look bad, we gotta keep that. Nah, we can't bring that up. So it's also about trying to keeping Fort Worth looking good and keeping that money coming in here.
And that's our question.
With that gag order.
I agree. I think the city cares more about its image than it does about getting to the truth of the matter and making this city whole as it should be. That's the crazy part. Y'all, we're going back to the phone line. We're going to 817-378. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Peace and blessings, Sister Kerry. Brother Malik here. I was one of the first guys, me and Comrade Brady, to go to the scene of the crime. By him being, it was made me nauseous, because as I went to that scene, I seen a hole through the window,
ooh,
through that screen, and no hole penetration, no bullet hole penetration through the blinds. So I knew for a fact them blinds was up.
Ooh.
And I could see the young brother standing by his aunt, scared to death, as he watches aunt bleed out.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm misunderstanding. Wait a minute, let me understand what you're saying. So you all were back there, like, on Mr. James's lot near the back of the fence?
No. Okay. We went in the backyard the day they had that press conference. Me and Connie like, no. Mayor talking about, y'all don't go back there. We looked at him like, man, are you serious? No, we went off in there and investigated for ourselves to see what was going on. And so from the trajectory that from that bullet hole, you know, he literally shot down. And if you go back and watch the tapes, why would you, you know, he flashed the light in the sister's house, being in that general area. Quite naturally, she thought it was a burglar. She didn't suspect nobody going to being in her backyard. Most people would shine through a light, somebody going to shoot at you 9 times out of 10. I mean, for one, Mr. Dean had no jurisdiction. You had no warrant of execution. The backyard where that's fenced in, that is an attachment to your house. It's like you being inside somebody's house. That's why it's illegal for you to go back there. And so he broke every law known to man. I have no empathy for this man at all. But my heart bleeds out for Brother Zion. I've seen some things that they are on top of it. So Forbes gonna have to pay for this one, but we have to hold accountability. And these cats down there, first we heard all this roaring. Then when they get the bag, men and money, all of a sudden those who choose to roar don't roar no more.
Yeah.
Ain't even talked about it. Ain't even part of conversation. You know, and so we have to look at it from our standpoint, how we conduct ourselves. We too forgive for one. What do? We pray, we forgive. We pray, forgive. That play don't work anymore. It's time for us to get upset at certain things when things ain't right. Like the sister said, and had these hard conversations. I ain't saying go tear up the city, but certain things we have to grind out. If we have to boycott and affect their economics, because that's the only thing they understand, which is the most powerful tool that we ever did to white America, was a movement of boycotting. And certain people that have been around need to stop speaking for everybody in the city. Unless we do sit down and have a conversation, but I agree with everybody on the phone that, mm-hmm. you know, regardless what's going to happen, if you change the venue, we're going to be upset. If the outcome doesn't go our way, we're going to be upset. They got to understand, ain't nowhere in where we live in the Metroplex. So you got us from Dallas, Arlington, Grand Prairie, whatever's in between going to go off. You can't contain that. You can't contain that. You know, I don't understand. Only thing I can say, man, we have to learn to vote, hold our people accountable, like the brother was saying. If we don't like what they're doing, they got to go. It ain't a color thing. It's an attitude. It's their attitude.
To be honest, I really don't even know what to
stop.
Go ahead.
But let me, and I'm going to let you in. See, them people in that police department don't produce nothing. They don't produce nothing. And we give them too much to play with.
That's right.
And like I said, why are we giving them $86.4 million for what? You don't produce nothing. You ain't using that much military equipment every day. And you ain't spending that much money on that training every day. It costs. Just to deploy SRT, that's a $100,000 ticket. Off straight up. Every day. Every day. And that costs. And so we have to hold a foot to the fire when it comes to policies, because everything they got is about policy instead. Everything down there is about policy. Ain't none of that stuff they got laid down as law. So we got to stay steadfast, stay strong, be around like-minded people, and make things happen for change at all costs.
I agree. Thank you for chiming in tonight, Malik. You know, he was talking about the Fort Worth Police Department. Let's talk about it. You know, I've never seen a department that lack transparency, I mean, about everything. Don't ask no questions, because you ain't going to get none. You're not going to get any answers, I guess I should say. They protect bad officers. You know, the IED process is a joke. You know, you complain on an officer and IED. Basically, all they're going to do is take down the information and then come back and tell you how what you said wasn't really true. We're going to talk about how police falsify police reports down there. I mean, there's no process in place, it seems, to deal with bad officers. You know, we got POAs that are buying candidates. We're looking at a CIT department that's their crisis intervention team. That's a joke. I mean, basically, that's a joke, in my opinion, on mental illness, because let them tell it everybody's crazy, because that's their way of getting out of doing their job. And to me, you know, especially the CIT department, the definition of insanity is an officer shooting an unarmed female who's in her own house in the middle of the night and says that he perceived that it was a threat on his life. So I think they need a clear understanding of what the definition of insanity is, you know, day one with the CIT department, because I don't think anybody down there has it. I mean, my opinion, as far as the CIT department is concerned, ain't nobody – excuse me, let me finish up. Nobody down there has a degree to certify anybody as mentally ill. So the CIT department has no right to put Alzheimer's and dementia on anybody's police report if you are not a certified psychologist. I'm sorry, y'all. I started ranting. I could go on and on. But am I wrong, Terrell and Kazi?
Did I lose
you, guys?
Hold on.
Y'all, I'm closing up phone lines. Did I lose Michael, Thomas Troll and Kazi? Okay.
I'm still here, Carrie.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Pastor. What do you think of our police department? We got a lot going on, don't we?
Yes. And least of all, not to mention our former police chief and what he witnessed in Fort Worth, which I think is a very interesting case.
But see, he's trying to get his job back, right?
Yes.
Right.
But I don't know if it's true.
With Brother Fitzgerald, I think Mr. Fitzgerald, people were upset because they felt like he wasn't being transparent with the quote unquote, you know, the black community, but he's the police chief of the city of Fort Worth. So people got sucked into this thing. Somebody found it. So, they divided. Let's use it against them. Because Mr. Fisher, if I'm not mistaken, he did not even have I might be wrong. Somebody can correct me on this. I don't think he had a contract with the city. I think they just, it was like a test run maybe. But Mr. Fitzgerald, I think the brother was smart. The brother was intelligent. I think he got a whiff of what was going on. It wasn't nothing against the community as far as he was turning his nose up against the community. But I think once he got a whiff of what was going on, he realized, man, probably thought to say, what did I get myself into? You know, because that good old boy system down there, it's a tight one. You know, it's a tight one. Somebody lost keys to it. You can't even unlock it and let them good old boys are locked in. I think our police department, it's just, again, it goes back to nobody wants to speak to accountability. Nobody wants to speak to accountability. And like you say, like the brother said, no one person is a spokesperson for any community. You know what
right.
I'm saying? No one person is a spokesperson for any community. I know they sit on calls. I go back to the calls. When they get them calls, if this guy's giving out them calls, the police are sitting. They're trying to see who's going to take the call. Who's going to take the call? You know what I'm saying? They just sit on those calls. That's why you get such a slow response. You literally have to get on now. You literally have to get on 911 and lie to them or make up something or hang up or do something just to get them people to come out and do their job, you know. And then when they come out with so much aggression, you know. A lot of them come out with so much aggression and so much disregard for what's really going on, you know what I'm saying? That situation with Mr. Dean again, y'all just go back to that. The front door was open, fool. The door was open, fool. Why you didn't announce yourself, fool? You forgot about protocol, fool.
I don't know if you've ever been over there. There was two doors, and you can see both of them from the street, and both of them were open. Yeah. Yeah,
and look at Carrie, what happened to them announcing themselves? That wasn't a no-knock warrant. That was a legitimate call for I'm concerned about. Can you just check on somebody for me? That's all I'm asking you to do. But like you say, who did the brother said, or they said the community. You look at that area a certain way, so you're gonna treat it that way. Now, had that been a predominantly white area, they probably would have. Oh yes, all right. It's okay. But because of the area, you know what I'm saying? Because of the area, how they perceive us, you know what I'm saying? It's I guarantee everybody, he's probably not even fun for it. But again, it's his decision making. Our police department sucks. And there it is.
I agree. Twirling Cosby, your line is back open.
It is.
It is.
Yeah, sorry. I'm out in the country also. It's my signal's not strong. I apologize. I think that the real tragedy is the ticking time bomb of the next tragedy, because there's not even meetings or plans or reform measures in place, retraining, you know, honest discussion about what we're doing wrong and what needs to be done differently. Thank God there haven't been, you know, a wrongful shooting like this or a murder that we know of, but everyone on this call knows that every single night, especially in Fort Worth, there are Fort Worth police officers misbehaving. I don't care what the ratio of good cops to bad cops. The bad cops, because they have no accountability, is a lot higher than anyone wants to admit. But nearly every night, both civil rights and dignity are abused and neglected across the city by improper conduct and misbehavior and whatever. And that continues to go on because we haven't even started at square one to change and reduce the chance of another Jefferson shooting. I mean, that's what troubles me the most, is the trial and the excuse that we have to wait for the trial, means that we've had 2+ years of nothing being improved or changed, not even an effort to do it. I mean,
that's true.
You know?
And you know what? Pastor, I'm going to say this, and I want you to finish your thought, because I think we cut you off earlier. It almost seems like the city of Fort Worth leadership and the police department have a dirty affair going on, and they protect each other. And that's scary, because it's almost as though they socialize themselves in such a way that they're on a level playing field. And so it's not like the city of Fort Worth Police Department has to be careful because the mayor is watching or the city council is watching. It's almost as though we're buddies. So whatever I do, you're going to cover for me, right? So it's like a dirty affair. And I think that should never be the case. Yeah. Go ahead, Pastor.
I was going to point this out, because no matter what your opinion of David Cook is, all the lines of authority and appropriateness are completely blurred, because you got the city manager and his fiance and Chris Nettles and Elizabeth Beck and all of them running around socially with the Sasha Basses of the world and a lot of power elites and rich people. And they're in bed with Police Officer Association. And so David Cook, as the city manager, is the highest ranking person that answers to the city council. But when you see who he's networked with socially, who he goes to Dallas Stars hockey games and Dallas Mavericks basketball games with, you realize what the game is specifically. And I don't think that brand new council members like Nettles and Beck and Williams completely recognize that it's like a slow seduction of where they've kind of co-opted everybody by making them all feel like they're part of this elite royal kind of exclusive club. And one of the things that makes it tough for a person like me is when you start seeing how many people feel this way that are on the government payroll at $200,000, $250,000, $300,000 a year, these are rich people. I mean, David Cook's labor burden and his base salary is $400,000 a year. You know, I mean, they're running in the circles of the Jerry Joneses, not the people that live on Atapiana Jefferson Street. And so, I mean, that and what they do is it's flattering to get to go, you know, I mean, Sasha Bass is half her husband's age, and her husband is worth like $4 billion now. And and it's real easy to enjoy free tickets for your whole family to the zoo, which the Becks and the Nettles family did, and a whole lot of other stuff like that. And so the confusion over where their loyalties is, you know, you pick it. Are you loyal to the Constitution, or are you loyal to your buddy, your little clique? Are you loyal to the people that voted you in the place, or are you loyal to your clique? Are you loyal to the people in the community that you identify with, or are you loyal to the Police Officers Association because you don't want to hack them all? And that's what we're dealing with here is, you know, you watch them in the first few months when the council changed and there were five or six new faces, they're having a party every Tuesday night. I mean, they were, you know, they were having a party about what parties they've been to together. And that's what our problem is they're afraid to, like everyone on this call doesn't agree on everything. And if I made a point of view that was radically different than the rest of you, you're not going to be like mad at me or hate me and never let me on the show again. But that's kind of the level of fear that these people have socialized into, is they're worried that their new friends that have been in the power positions for a while will censure them or ostracize them or not be as nice to them anymore. I mean, it's kind of a grow-up moment if you think about it.
That's the scary part. Pastor, do you agree there's an unhealthy courtship going on between like our police department and our city leadership? And so this little nasty affair is not healthy for the citizens of Fort Worth.
I would agree, doesn't help. You know, I mean, you know, we talk about Fort Worth growing, you know, the politics and things around Fort Worth kind of, it kind of reminds you of a small rural southern town. And it's big and things that are coming to light, you know, they just really don't look, you know, they're I mean, I'm just saying, that's my opinion. Let me just be quiet. That's my opinion.
Okay, I agree. Let me ask you, Adrian, can you pull up those numbers for the oversight monitor, the police oversight monitor? Listen, these people make a whole bunch of money, y'all. If y'all didn't know that, I thought it was a $50,000 or $60,000 a year job, but I stand corrected. These people cannot make an officer come and speak to them. They do not have the authority to issue any punishment. They do not put the complaint that's being made against the officer in the officer file. In the officer's file, they don't have that type of authority. Basically, all they do is recommend policy changes. So for 2 years or so now, I guess they've just been making policy changes. I don't know. But I'm interested in knowing what policy changes have they made what policy changes have they recommended, and then were any of them actually implemented? And I'm going to submit an open records request on that because I'm very interested in knowing, because these people make a whole bunch of money, and I really don't see anything that has really resulted from them being in play.
There you go, Terry.
Terry, go ahead.
You hit it right on here, Terry. It's what they're getting paid. So they're not going to do nothing in favorable to the. You hit it right. Y'all continue getting paid as long as you, you know, don't rock the boat, you know. So, and I saw two names on there who had the same name, and I'm wondering, are they is it a husband and wife, or are they relatives? Because that's kind of like a conflict. If you look at that report, it's two people on there with the same last name. It's not by coincidence. It ain't no. It gotta be some. It gotta be some kind of relation there. I don't think that's right. No, but like you say, they get paid money.
You have those salaries in front of you?
No, I do not. They're on the messenger. I can look them up real quick. What are you?
Your point. Please do that. Because, y'all, this is what I noticed, and this is just an observation. Those people make a heck of a lot of money, and Charleston White, and, you know, in Charleston, and y'all know who Charleston White is. Basically, Charleston made a lot of complaints recently that a certain officer, and I'm not going to call the officer's name because I don't know if the allegations are true or not, but he made some allegations that a certain officer, a top bracket officer down at Fort Worth Department, was harassing him. That said, again, I don't know if that's true or not, but that was Charleston's allegation. However, he said that he had a meeting to speak with the oversight committee about what was going on with him. I think he said he was running a little late. When he got there, they said that the people at the oversight committee could not see him. And what he described was Jay Chapa coming out and basically speaking with him. Now, Jay Chapa, if you don't know, is the current assistant city manager and also top cop in Fort Worth. So how does the top cop, who should be separate from the oversight committee, come out to talk to Charleston White when Charleston White was supposed to be going and talking to the oversight committee? So again, everybody's intertwining job titles and positions, and it's not healthy because we can't be independent and at the same time intertwined. So,
well, Carrie, can you hear me?
Impossible.
You know, we rallied. You know, they proposed a citizens committee, like mm-hmm. the one in Chicago that had subpoena power and had a budget and had mm-hmm. a legal person assigned to mm-hmm. them also. Mm-hmm. And because who does the committee report to? Mm-hmm. Who are their bosses?
Okay.
I mean, to me, it's almost like an internal affairs department, already in the police department.
Well,
it's not independent.
Yeah. In fact, it's dependent on the payroll checks that they get, and they have less access than internal affairs does, and they have to go through civilian channels. So it looks like structurally, they kind of answer to Kim Neal and Jay Chapa, who actually just retired, but that position, assistant city manager. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's David Cook who gets – this committee, which is nonsense, honestly, or commission or task force, whatever they would call themselves, this is a construct that someone like David Cook and the police chief came up with to pacify people in the thinking – that they were going to do something substantive. And the truth is, and here's the catch 22. If you're on that committee and you have no real principles or morals and you get up there and you're making the kind of pay you're making, why would you solve the problem? I mean, why would you solve the problem if you're making 200 grand a year or more? Because the more years that you go through the motions, that's more years of 200 grand a year. And so, yeah, okay. And also, they immediately build a closer bond to each other than to the interests of the people. This is the training or the acculturation that happened. That's the problem here. By the way, there are whole states that have eliminated qualified immunity, two so far. Mm-hmm. And separately, I don't know if y'all knew that, Colorado and New Mexico, big deal for the police. They've changed what qualified immunity is and isn't. And that's going to get cleared up in the courts over a few years. But the other thing that those two states and four others have are what are called Brady lists. Now, a lot of people know what a Brady law or Brady search is, but you want to solve a whole lot of police reform problems with the Fort Worth Police Department, make them have what's called a Brady list, which is literally a list of all the officers that have ever been disciplined at this department or former departments that they've worked at, spelling out specifically what they got in trouble for. And then it scored, just kind of like your driving record. And if you have enough low-level offenses or one or two high-level offenses, you're not employable anywhere. Now, that's a pie-in-the-sky dream, but there are other cities in other states, like New Mexico, where every law enforcement officer in the state is in the Brady system and it's tracked when they do something inappropriate or wrong or excessive force, especially when it's on video or they're found to have committed the offense. And you're not seeing the oversight, you know, woman or any of this special task force proposing any of that kind of stuff.
But that's
no. It's not just so they don't want to know. Don't act, this is a true case of don't ask, don't tell. Downtown does not want to know anything about what bad police officers do because they have no intention of fixing it. Period.
Yeah.
So
no, one of the things I thought. Was, one of the things. Now look, was it yesterday they arrested somebody for drinking on the job in one of the police cars? And one of the things I wanted to say was they said that he was in his police car. Well, that's not just a semantical mistake. That's not his police car. That's our police car. I mean, you know, you're driving around city equipment and raising liability that citizens have to pay off. Okay? But in the states and the cities that keep Brady lists and track and identify bad acting officers, one of the offenses that's super common in Fort Worth, okay, because they joke about it, because guys that I know that are law enforcement, one of the things that puts you on a Brady list in New Mexico or Colorado or in Illinois now is if it turns out you had sex in your patrol unit. Well, that sounds pretty crazy, but that's like a rite of passage for cops. I mean, I'm sure they don't all do it, but my point is because that kind of behavior is like the canary in the coal mine of worse acts, more aggressive acts, more disrespect to the public and the position and the equipment. And then, you know, if you get caught lying by your superior, that scores against you on a Brady list. We're nowhere near any of that kind of a structure, but that's what that committee should be working on is stuff like that, not –
I agree.
You know.
I agree. Because, you know, we got to have some accountability. And, I mean, I myself have, you know, complained, and literally you get nowhere with a complaint against a police officer. And that goes for under Halstead, that goes for under Krause, that goes for under Fitzgerald. Nothing. I mean, I don't see the reprimands. I don't see the terminations. I just don't see it. And so this oversight committee, I just question – you know, what are they really over there doing? Did you find the salaries, Adrian?
Still working. Give me a moment. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay. Gotcha. So the thing is, I don't see the point in paying somebody $100,000 a year and in excess of $100,000 a year for them only to sit over there and listen to someone's complaint and then sit down and say, okay, well, we're going to write a policy, and it takes you 2 years to write the policy, and then the policy never gets implemented, or recommend policy changes, I guess I should say, and the policy changes never take place. I just question if it's all just to appease us, if that makes sense. Like Thomas said,
Does everyone know who is on the CCPD committee, you know, the CCPD funding committee? Does everyone know who that board is? So the entire board, there are 9 positions, and guess who holds those 9 positions? The Fort Worth City Council. I think the chairman of that board is Gina Bivens instead of Maddie Parker. But all 9 of those folks, they meet once or twice a year, and they set the entire budget for how the CCPD money will be distributed. And of course, the police department prepares, you know, requests and recommendations. My point is, here we have a city council who's complaining about work-life balance and not having enough time to, you know, for kids and life and stuff like that, and cutting back on city council meetings. How come you haven't appointed somebody, a citizen, a volunteer, a non-paid person that's more independent thinking in each of those 9 slots? I mean, give me a break. You know, you because you love having those seats and you want to maintain the control yourself. You don't want to delegate it to people that might use objective thinking or critical thinking and might actually reform the police with some of the money decisions. Isn't that interesting when you realize that?
You know, somebody else wants to come. Malik wants to come back on it. Excuse me, I'm choking here, y'all, and make a point. But before I open this slide, let me say this. You make an excellent point. This is supposed to be a part-time job, and they make certain to appoint themselves to 3 and 4 different committees each. Why don't they make those committees appointees to about people that are community people instead of them sitting on all the boards? So, again, it's about control. It's not
right.
our best interest. It's control. Because if they want to go home on time, then just relinquish some of the responsibilities that you got down there and delegate them out to people in the community who want to sit on those boards. Let me open back up Malik. Excuse me, phone line for a second. Yes, sir, Malik.
You know, at one point in time, Social Security was governed such a way as the brother was saying by the community. And when this man had some money, then the council took over that part of it. But what I did discover, speaking to city councilman, that a lot of that money ain't doing what it's supposed to do. You know, we got old antiquated groups, like bro said, stuck, you know, in antiquated ways, and they don't want to see, most definitely, change. And the same people, we ask time and time again, why the same people getting the money, you know what I'm saying? You know, there's other things that it could be dispersed of, but talking to this particular city councilman, in his district, it's no programs. What are the programs?
Oh.
That's what CCPD money was supposed to be. It's for effective programs that make change and help, you know, things that were in the community. The only time I could say this was truly effective when we had, you've seen a lot of things that were helping the community. But right now, these cats getting this bag, and we don't know what they doing. And so, But speaking to this particular council, we had some down serious conversation. Being that the gentleman that he is gonna redirect. Because I see the stuff he laid out to redirect the things that funding for, as far as, you know, kids not getting charged at the community centers, that little $10-$15 fee. He took that away. But, you know, like I said, it's going to take him a little time, you know, and I kind of put the hammer down on him, you know. When some of them didn't flip, like bro said, you know, if not, they're going to get moved out of position. But that CCPD money is not being utilized effectively as it should be as a whole, which is supposed to be to help the community. If you don't have no programs, what are you doing? That's why we don't see that, because there's nothing there. See,
but
no
some people feel like, some people feel like that money is just really hush money for certain people to
it is. That's
get
what I'm
into
talking about.
Yeah.
Yep. Gatekeepers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I DM you a list of people who are getting the money, and what are they doing?
Well, my point is, though, they're being put in place, like if a crisis or...
Hey, we get on the phone and call us so we can know what's going on.
Wait, at Whataburger?
Yeah.
Oh, so
an
anchor, right?
All right.
Because the man that was behind me, he was dressing
today.
But that's what it is, though. We have to change. We have to hold these city council people foot to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and like I told them, you know, I got a stack. A participant that was in that parade, Sister Carrie. So,
mm-hmm.
if you time that time 3.5, I can remove a city councilman.
Really?
Yeah, really? I had over 412 participants. So they didn't told 2 or 3 people. So if you time that time 3, understand me, move forward. But we got to have accountability. Got to have accountability. All right, then, Sister.
Thank you. You know, y'all, we got to get registered to vote, too. If we ain't registered, we can't do nothing but talk about it. In the end, if we're not registered to vote, then the same cycle will continue. That's just the bottom line, period. You know, as far as the homeless community, and y'all can make a shameless plug, the homeless community we know here is suffering greatly. We see, you know... I don't know, it's heartbreaking what you see when you go down Lancaster and you see the homeless shelters and the people standing outside and they can't go in until a certain time. And then we know we just had this freeze and, you know, it was just people still camping out in the element, despite the fact that there was freezing temperatures for several days. Well, that said, Tuesday, y'all, Dr. Belcher with Grace Temple, what is that, Seventh-day Adventist Church, is going to come on between 2 and 3 o'clock because we had to bring him on during the week as opposed to on Friday. But they're doing some great work over there at the Grace Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church. They literally have something every Wednesday where they provide food for the homeless people here in Fort Worth. They are providing haircuts. They have portable showers and portable laundromats. And he wants everybody to know, if you know somebody homeless, tell them about what they're doing over there, because they're wanting to reach and help as many people as they can. And so I am so excited about what they're doing, because it seems like our city does not have in its heart the love to take care of the homeless. I'm not saying that everybody, you know, is in the same place. Some people, you know, may not want to come off the street. But I do believe that the majority of the people down there in the homeless community do not want to be homeless, which I agree with that. I just don't think people just want to be homeless. I don't agree with that.
I don't.
Adrian, you don't need the bathroom.
No, I don't agree with it. And I go back to how the city feels about the homeless. You go back to the ordinance they try to pull up, right there under that overpass, that 35 overpass, stating that they made it a crime if they sleep under the bridge, basically.
Wow.
where they normally sleep, they're not causing no issues, but because it's like an entryway into Fort Worth, they don't want the block to be seen by people coming into town. They put that ordinance up stating that these people will be criminalized if they sleep there. You know what I'm saying? So we don't care about the homeless. When they rerouted all the buses to the outskirts of downtown, because certain people who control downtown didn't want certain people coming through town on the buses, that's why they stopped all the bus traffic from coming through town, because they know the buses used to bring, you know, it used to be certain people that they didn't want in town on those buses, getting off those buses, walking through town, being visible by all the people who might be visiting, who feel some type of way about the homeless, or, you know, they're just so uppity, we don't need to be around this. So trust me, they don't have a care for the homeless. But, you know, people do the dog and pony show Thanksgiving and Christmas time. Everybody's dog and ponying. Everybody going to cameras on them. Everybody's saying, oh, we're going to put the homeless up for a day and blah, blah, blah. Miss me with that, man. Miss me with that, you know?
I agree. And you know what? We have too many vacant buildings that we could put homeless people in, or at least have facilities for homeless people to have some services that they're not going to be able to get on the street. And so I think
No, you're wrong. You're wrong with that. You're wrong. You know why? You know why we don't have those buildings? You know why they're not going to – we have those buildings, but you know why the city won't don't see to purchase those buildings?
Right.
How much did they get the police? Somebody said, what was the budget, $86 million?
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Yep. There you go right there. All the money is going – there you go. So those buildings are going to be either for sale, or we taxpayers have to keep – put the bill to keep them, I guess, maintenance, whatever they call themselves doing. They just blocks, you know. But
I don't know.
You see what Dallas County doing? I'm sorry to cut you off. You see what Dallas County doing? If people have a problem with this, Dallas County took over a whole apartment complex that was vacated, and now they're going to revitalize it and use it for transitioning for men who are coming in from incarceration to help them to get a better start on life. You know what I'm saying? So kudos to Dallas. With all the corruption that goes on over in Dallas, more than Fort Worth, bigger than Fort Worth, but at least they do have a heart for that. They do have a concern and a heart for their homeless, and they kind of make a difference in the lives of people. So kudos to Dallas.
That's good to know. Pastor, what are your thoughts on the homeless community here?
You know, actually, you know, having lived in both places, I think actually Fort Worth does a better job, you know, as far as facility. I mean, it's not great, but I'm saying they have some.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to work in downtown Dallas, and you see a lot of homeless folks just walking up and down the street. But you don't really see that in Fort Worth. At least I haven't.
Wow. You know, another thing here that really bothers me is the Fort Worth ISD. I used to be in mortgage, and one of the first things that a realtor used as a selling point to someone who had a young family was they got great schools. You know, so those communities were great. Is the truth where they had a good school system. Those were the areas that people chose to live in when they were raising families. So, what is it about Fort Worth ISD that we don't get that they want? You know, good schools. You know, people. If we're talking about people are moving here, people want to move to a place that has good schools. Why don't we put any serious investment in our schools here in Fort Worth and get like students to the point that they can read? You know, I mean, that should not be a situation where a child is being graduated year after year and he can't read.
I say, Carrie, it starts with who's sitting in those seats. These people, we allow these people to sit in these seats too long. The people who elect these people, because it's by a vote. They can't get in on merits. They can't get in on good looks. They can't get in on mama or daddy, or they can't get in on being interviewed. We the people put these people in these positions. We let these people stay in office too long without no accountability, So it starts with us, the people. We have to tell the truth of what it is. You gotta say, tell the truth, shame the devil. Man, the devil ain't got, y'all quit saying the devil ain't got no shame. Tell the truth, shame the devil. The devil ain't got no shame. We the people let these people sit in these positions too long, and they just get older and older and older. No disrespect to age, because age is a beautiful thing, but these people be stuck in their ways. They don't have no new policies. They don't want to be open to trying new things, you know. But they always want to ask for more money. Let's get another bond election. Where's all this money going? You know what I'm saying? These people living on a hog. You know what I'm saying? And it's just sad, because if you don't get a good education, then if your children don't have a shot at a good education, 9 out of 10, they're going to be a liability in society. They're going to become a liability. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's to you, the parent, or to society, they're going to become a liability. So everything does start with education. You know what I'm saying? A good education. You know what I'm saying? Give me an opportunity to shine and do better. So you got a point, Carrie. You got a valid point. We got people out of office. We got to get those people out of their seats who've been sitting there too long.
All right. Pastor, you're doing a little teaching. What are you saying?
I mean, I think it can be much better than it is. You know, like once again, the city is growing. Certain areas are making demographic changes. A lot of people are moving here, but I don't think the school system has made enough changes to be ready for the future.
Oh, my God. That's sad. I mean, because you know what? Honest to God, the children are our future. You know, they say that all the time, but it's not just a cliche. They really are our future. And so if they can't read, they can't compete. If they can't write a, I mean, when I left high school, I could write a check. You know, I could tell time. I mean, I knew my, you know, my Roman numerals, all these things. They don't even teach these things anymore. The basics, we could write in cursive. You can't do any, they don't even teach this stuff anymore. It's like, you know, what are they prepared to do?
If you can't read, you can't comprehend. If you can't comprehend, then guess what? You're just gonna follow whatever you feel is right or wrong. You know what I'm saying? And you'll be easily swayed this, that, or the other. So, like you said, go back to the basics. You know, they're now trying to focus on early childhood education development, but again, that can be underfunded. That could be, you know, it's like they do certain things just to get certain people on board with certain things, and then they just stop doing it. If you look at these districts in these areas that's predominantly, I'll say affluent, I'm not going to say white, because every time we say white, we always say and like they're the only ones who, you know, have a status in society. So I'm not going to say white. But these affluent areas, some people don't let them people do what they want to do with their tax dollars. Some people hold, their city council know, hey, we making this possible for you to be in the position you are. We want this, we want this, we want this, we want this. If you can't get it to us, we're going to get somebody else in there that can. Same thing go back to us, the people. We the people. We got the power. They're using our tax dollars to make decisions. You know what I'm saying? They're sitting on our tax money. You know what I'm saying? You can't do what we want. We going to get you out of there. You know, we're going to get you out of there. Simple as that. Stop letting these people dog and pony us, making us feel good. Oh, you know, every 2 years somebody want to, they flood your mailbox with all this campaign literature. But sure, I don't never see nobody on campaign trail. I don't never see nobody knocking on no doors. But go to your mailbox. You're going to have 1,000 things from the same person talking about why you should vote for them. Why you should vote for them. Man, get out of here.
And this is true. And, you know what? And we're down to the last 10 minutes, but I got to hit this, y'all. You know, Carrie Moon, recording. I'm not going to be able to get to it tonight, but I'm going to hold him to the fire. He said that it's a possibility. We could get him here on Let's Talk Fort Worth to explain it to me. And I think I don't know that I can adequately translate what he said, so I'm not going to attempt it. And the recording is something about 12 minutes long, and so we don't even have 12 minutes left in the show, so I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go back to Mr. Moon and ask him if we can get him to personally come on the show and explain the fact that Ms. Weinberg with truthandaccounting.org said that we had a $2.7 billion deficit, and Mr. Moon disagrees, and he says there's a $4.6 million surplus. And we discussed it a little bit, but basically the only thing that I can really explain to you all that I can intelligently explain to you, because he's a numbers man and I'm not, but I was a mortgage broker for a long time, and what he did say that I really followed was in the retirement plan, they're on an amortization schedule. And let's just say the amortization schedule is 30 years. Well, at any time, the retirement plan could come back and say, we're going to take the amortization from 30 years to 25, or from 25 to 20. Well, that means, in essence, that if that is the case, then there is a future deficit problem, as Truth in Accounting stated. Because if you don't have all the funding in the account right now, at whatever point they decide, and it's quite possible that they could, to re-amortize the schedule for the retirement plan, then we are truly in a real deficit. And I'm going to have him come back on and explain that to you a little bit more. But y'all, let's talk about what happened Tuesday night at council meeting. I told y'all last Friday we talked about it. We just going to chime in on a little bit this evening, because we didn't know the real numbers. We didn't know the hard numbers last Friday night when we talked about the mayor and the city council wanted a raise. We kind of knew it was high, but we didn't know what number it was. Well, David Cook said in Tuesday night's city council meeting that the mayor currently earns $29,000. She wants her raise now to go to $99,000, which is literally three times what she's making. The city council currently earns $25,000, and they want their pay to go to $76,000 and some change. Again, literally three times what they're making. Y'all, is that too much money for them to be asking for? This is a part-time job. Uh-oh, they got quiet now. Pastor, is that too much money?
Well, you know, it just depends on what you want. You know, some cities pay that much because they want that to be your full-time job. But, you know, the way Fort Worth is going, I don't think city council or the mayor can do it on a part-time basis and do it effectively.
Interesting. Adrian, what are your thoughts?
Hey, man, see this, Carrie? Because you notice, and thank God for Bob. Thank God for Bob. Boy, they can't do. I think they're gonna find a way to because of Bob, and it's no knock on Bob, but he's doing a good thing. They're gonna find a way to make it where we can't present things to where they got to read or that video. Ooh, that was a bad video Bob played. That was a bad video. But check this out, Carrie. It's amazing how they're not supposed to have dialogue with us, back and forth with us. But it's amazing how. Right, Beck was the first one to jump on his fall on this sword. Said what she said. Then she started going into a little rant about her. Girl, you chose to sign. You knew it was a part-time job. Who? You ain't the only one who got kids. You ain't the only one who got kids who got bills to pay. Then they reeled old Chris in. Chris. Hey, buddy. Some buddies. Chris. I think it's a good thing, and I don't plan to be on the seat. Yeah, you just shut up, man. Because if they put that money, in front of you, if they give y'all that money, y'all are all gonna be trying to get that seat year in and year out. Come on, brother. It's more than what it's more than what you probably taking in. You know what I'm saying? Right now in your personal life, you know what I'm saying? And then our brother Jared, he was kind of, he was more, you know, reserved with it. You know what I'm saying? But again, it's amazing they use the three of the newest members to kind of, you know, give us this fear for why they need it. You know, this, that, or the other. It's a part-time job y'all signed up for, right? So are y'all ready to give up whatever it is y'all doing in y'all personal lives now? Are y'all ready to get those up? Because we're going to need y'all there every day. If this is the case, we're going to need you there every day. It's a full-time job now. It ain't going to be no coming once a week. It can't be no once a week no more. It can't be no once a week. It can't be no, you know what I'm saying, whenever we feel like we're going to cancel the meeting. And old David Cook, Mr. Cookbook, we know he cooking them books. David cooking them books, y'all. David is cooking them books. Miss Cookbook, he goes into his little spiel trying to explain why it's necessary. Man, so y'all got energy and time to explain why y'all want more money, but y'all don't got energy and time to address the things that really need to be addressed. And like you said, Carrie, and go back to this. The last time, I want people to be mindful. Adrian pays attention. The last time they tried to do that, they tried to sneak it on a ballot. Bessie Price, she's running for the judge. She ain't just running for the judge just to be judged. She wants that money. She wants that power. That's what she wants. That's what Bessie's going after. So no, they haven't earned it. And I hope the citizens of Fort Worth realize they haven't earned it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe like somebody said, let y'all get through this term. Maybe next year we'll do it. Let's see what y'all doing this first time around. First, we might not want you here next year. So you get this pay raise, and then we vote you out. Then what? You know?
I agree. I agree with you. I think who was the other thing? Okay, first of all, you know, I've never had a job where I could go and demand that kind of raise in less than 8 months. Secondly, most of the time you get an evaluation before you get. Okay, somebody's got some noise in their background. Sometimes you get most of the time you're going to get an evaluation before you get a large raise. Okay, this council is typically late. Almost every time they start council, they're late. They restructured the time. They restructured the fact we don't get in the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. We don't get a prayer before. They just jump right in. The fact that they put their personal pictures and personal videos, in my opinion, they feel like those are more important than the people having their presentation at the regular council meetings. They feel like their pictures should be included. But as far as we're concerned, the public presentation should be different from the way it was when they got there. And then I think, you know, sometimes I see this council as being really spicy. I'm just going to call it what it is. They're pretty spicy, y'all. They got some pretty... I call it sharp upper lips. That just means for anybody, a layman's term, that means just, you know, they're, how do I want to say this? They're more outspoken than maybe we want to see in them in their professional capacity. And what you do outside of the council is one thing, but when we see you up on the seat, we expect a certain level of professionalism. That's just how I'm going to put that. Excuse me. Last but not least, if I understood the way they put this raise, it's all included in 13 propositions. Well, that says it's kind of like when we go to the poll, we either vote for one or we got to vote against all of them. Or I'm sorry, either we vote for them all or we get nothing. And so I think that was a sneaky way of asking for a raise. And so in my opinion, I'm just going to vote against all 13 propositions, even if some of them are good, because I just think this is just the wrong way to get three times your salary. That's just my opinion. So, y'all, listen, we got to get out of here. This is the close of another show. I hope we informed you of something that you did not know about. But really, we see that Fort Worth is in a state of crisis. There's a lot of things that need to be adjusted, rearranged, fixed, and we hope the city, the downtown hears us. You know, maybe somebody down there is listening. Who knows? So listen, this is what we do each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. We ask you to ask a friend to join us, to listen to the show. And if you'd like to advertise here on Let's Talk Fort Worth, send me an email at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Until next week, good night.